SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best hour of your day officially underway. It's Moneyline, new week, new money, as we like to say. What a fabulous Sunday it was for me. A little bit down, Kevin, for me. Saturday, Sunday, absolutely fantastic across the board. So many hot topics to hit today. World Series game number 3, NFL Monday Night Football, Russ cooking versus the New York Giants, and so much more to get to and have some fun with. He's Kevin. I'm Donnie. It's Moneyline. We're ready to go. It's Sirius XM Channel 159. How are we feeling today, K-Dub?
Feeling good. Yeah. Feeling positive. I did, unfortunately, for the second time in, 3 weeks, lose money because Jordan Mason was injured in-game.
Yes, me too. You hurt me a little bit.
That's not fun, you know? But that apparently that's the NFL. But let's start positive, right? Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles destroyed the Cincinnati Bengals. And that, for me, Donnie, was the main thing that I wanted to see, not just as an Eagle fan, but as an Eagle futures market backer. If you tell me the Lions are the best team in the sport, that is absolutely fine. That is fine. If you tell me that the Philadelphia Eagles, though, are not one of the three best teams in the NFC, I have a lot of problems with that. I think they've been flashing it for quite some time now.
Yeah, you're not going to get any arguments out of me today because the evolution of my week was tough game. It's on the road. Anytime you're playing a road team with a good quarterback, you know you're in for a pretty tough day. T. Higgins on one side, Jamar Chase on the other side. Let's see how this young Eagles secondary tries to provide help. The minute we got to Friday, Kevin, and I saw that thigh injury, which was happening to T. Higgins. He wasn't going to play. You know me yesterday. Completely swung over and said, you know what? It's a game the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no excuses. I don't care the underdog. They should win this game. They're the better football team. Driving home yesterday after getting done the show, listening in the car, a marathon opening drive that saw every single third down get converted. Didn't matter if they were in third and 7, 9, 22. They got every single thing. They're down 10-3 as I'm just about to get home. 54-yard field goal lining up by a very good kicker on Cincinnati. He misses it. Eagles go right down the field, punching a touchdown just before the end of the half. It's 10-10. I said, let me see how the second half gets underway. They were spectacular. And some of the times when you look at a football team and say, I want to embarrass the other team, those drives late in the game, which just said, we have Saquon, you have a bad defense, we're going to beat the hell out of you. The Eagles did that yesterday. Opportunistic on defense, making plays, young defensive backs shining all over the place. It was the most impressive victory of the Eagles season, and now you're right. Do I think they're the best team in the NFC? No. I'm going to stick with the Detroit Lions. But are they in the conversation of a top three team that could possibly make it to an NFC championship game? 100% now. 100%.
Yeah. I just think that this should be enough to kind of change, you know, and I'm going to continue to pick on this one team. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But this idea that the Green Bay Packers are right there, we're neck and neck with the Lions, and the Eagles are nowhere near those teams, you know, that just doesn't really make much of any sense to me. But I tell you, when you look at the NFC as a whole, man, yesterday you had two games where the result was really going to help kind of with placement of where these teams are. And it was the San Francisco 49ers matchup with the Dallas Cowboys. It was that Bears-Commanders game. And man, that's a heck of a play. Jaden Daniels has already now won Offensive Rookie of the Year. But every person who was involved with the decisions that were made on that Hail Mary, Donnie, I don't think it's an overreaction to let go. It's a losing culture. It's not understanding your job. I'm sure you have, you know, a lot of opinions on it, but like the guy who is, you know, taunting with the fans, look, it's not an overreaction to cut him. Whoever decided to QB spy, you know, 75 yards away from the end zone, okay, well, we got to make a decision there. Like that to me, Donnie, is one of the most unacceptable plays at the professional level that you just kind of, I don't think it's an overreaction to make a statement after that loss for the Chicago Bears. Their season might have ended on that game. It's very possible their season might have ended.
Yes, and from a game where Washington absolutely was kicking the tail out of the Bears, to blink your eye and see the Bears were going to win that football game. And I even put out a tweet like with the Eagles yesterday. Hey, look at that. First place now officially in the NFC, and then all of a sudden that crazy play happens. But you're right about this. When we talk about Matt Eberflus in the offseason, surprised that he got the job back. Hey, look, you have a generational quarterback on your side. Who are you going with? Waldron. It's like, let's see how this plays out. Now, there's still a long way to go in the season, don't get me wrong. And coming into that football game, I thought the Bears were playing very good, and they did play good on defense until you hand the football from the goal line that has to be okayed by the head coach on a guy that's not supposed to carry the football. When you have three capable running backs in the backfield that would have walked right into the end zone there, that's issue number one. Yeah. For a defensive head coach, and coaches have so much time, Kevin. It's not just midweek preparation. It's not just during the season, in the offseason. They think of every single scenario. They're covered every which way. And we see Hail Marys in a lot of football games, either end the half or end the football game. You know exactly how to play these. And coming down the stretch, you say to yourself, what's the main goal that you want to avoid with a Hail Mary? First, don't let them get into Hail Mary range where it's like, hey, I'm not even sure the kid can reach it here. Maybe he throws it down to the 20 on the opposite side. Couple seconds left to go. You go to your prevent defense and go, you can get any amount of yardage that you want in 6 seconds because you're not going to score, and then we'll play this. So they let them get free run into Hail Mary range. And then you're right. So many coaches do this. Am I saying we have to go, as I call it, like a zero-man defense where everybody's blitzing to not give the guy, and you get one slant pass and you get to the end zone? No. But what is the thought process, redirecting wide receivers off the line of scrimmage? You pick one or two of them out, you jam them up, and then you run back. You have three safeties over the top, but also, Kevin, you have four pass rushers, right? You're not saying, hey, I need you to be TJ Watt, beat your man cold, and sack the guy. Have a conditional rush almost, where it's not a must rush, but we're going to stay in our lanes. We're not going to let him dance around here, but we're also not going to let him drop back 15 yards and then run up 10 yards and launch it and absolutely miss him. And then my favorite play, which a lot of teams do, Kevin, it's the delayed blitzer. That linebacker in the middle of the field that has nothing left to do, the four linemen engage. He goes 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. Everybody's engaged. Now I'm going to chase down the quarterback. And the first thing I saw after that play happened, I was like, you have three rush, which you see sometimes I disagree with it. I'm like, what is this linebacker? Oh my God, he's a spy on a play where you might think the quarterback is going to run 75 yards for a touchdown through three different levels of players. Lost my mind on that, Kevin.
Yeah, no, I rightfully so. Now, it is brutal that the official said, ah, man, you know what? We won't call anything here. Obvious holding. Like, look, you know, there's holding on every play. Like, obvious holding by their right tackle on the play, but kind of Texas Georgia, right? Like, you're allowed to do whatever you want on this play because we made a mistake here all of a sudden. But also, you're so right about the blitz, Donnie, because Jaden Daniels, and I'm not slandering him when I say this.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels couldn't reach the end zone from where he was. Now, he barely missed it. But also, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback be given that much runway to throw a Hail Mary.
Correct.
Like, he was able to, like, crow hop into that thing and still couldn't hit the end zone because that was him having to throw the ball 70 air yards, which is preposterous. Again, the kid even getting it that close was nuts. Any amount of real pressure, that ball lands at like the 20-yard line, and the Bears are sat there 5-2, feeling amazing about themselves. Now, in this crowded, really difficult conference, the Chicago Bears are on the outside looking in, and that really is a deflating loss.
And by the way, you are taking a look at that football game going in Chicago. I'm sorry, I know it's early. Looks like you drafted the wrong quarterback. Number one, Jaden Daniels. And again, sometimes it's the product of their environment. Would Caleb be doing as well in Washington and vice versa? We'll never know that at this point. But Washington looks like they're going to be a player in the NFC. Moneyline on a Monday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Unbelievable hot topics, man. I love Mondays. Mondays are so good. Like, we work hard here at SportsGrid Network all week, but we really grind on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm up really early to do a 3-hour show, but When you have energy like the NFL continues to provide in college football, it's easy to talk about. It's easy to get through, Kevin. And yesterday provided so many things. Like, where should we start again? We're going to get to the Jets in a second because it's hilarious. It's a calamity. What happens next, we'll talk about. But I say this. I know you take this tongue in cheek. But me, again, I always lean back on what I feel as a quarterback. Where I know I have a quarterback in the game that's like, this guy might be able to sling it today. And you get excited. Or this quarterback is really bad. I don't even know why I'm running routes. Jameis Winston injecting new life into Cleveland. Understandably, the Ravens defense isn't all that great, right? They're damaged in the secondary. He spread, like, the tight ends and three wide receivers all getting off on the same day and then beating the Ravens. I was astonished. But then I think back, go, was I really all that surprised? Like, because it was either going to be Jameis is an enormous bust or Jameis actually has talent compared to Deshaun Watson and what he was able to do.
There is something, though, Donnie, that it shouldn't be this stark.
Yeah.
So I saw this tweet yesterday. Mm-hmm. I believe it. I didn't go and run the numbers myself, but I imagine that this is accurate.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson in 19 games with the Browns has never thrown for over 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Winston and Flacco have hit that number in 6 of their 7 starts for Cleveland. Like, how is Donnie, the Cleveland Browns offense, one of the best pass attacks in football, mm-hmm. as long as Watson isn't out there? This is not a situation where, like, this is what would happen, okay? Normally, Dorian Thomas and Robinson would step in, right? Throw for 300 every game, and we'd be like, man, this kid is a bona fide superstar. They stole this kid out of UCLA. No. Joe Flacco was retired, and Jameis Winston was shuffled out of Tampa and New Orleans. Yes, I know they can be gunslingers. I understand mm-hmm. that. But Donnie, the idea that Kevin Stefanski is such a good head coach, he's like, all I need is a quarterback who was willing to chuck it, and I'm telling you, we're going to compete with every team in this league. Like, it is mind-blowing that they are this inept with Watson and this good with everybody else.
It is. And also keep in mind, like, you can say, like, we want a quarterback, we're going to go to the draft, let's not win a lot of football games. Deshaun Watson has a guaranteed contract, Kevin. He counts next year $70 million against the salary cap. The following year, Kevin, $70 million against the salary cap. You can't renegotiate it. You can't just trade him. And if you do, you accelerate that cap hit into one season. It's unbelievable because if you are a Cleveland fan, you sort of signed up for this, right? Like, oh, we hope this works out. And a lot of quarterbacks are under that. Like, if Patrick Mahomes didn't work out with his half a billion dollar contract, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen, you know, that just, and Trevor Lawrence, to say the least, right? If it doesn't work out, you're devastated. But usually you see those contracts. Hey, what? I got $250 million. $148 million are... guaranteed. Not the full boat here. Like, you can't even, you have 2 more years of a quarterback that cannot play. You bench him, trade him, or cut him, you ruin your entire football team. It's almost astounding.
I would say, Donnie, there is, of those 3 options, there is one they can go with, which is bench him. I think we've long felt like you can't bench him. Whoever the backup, though, is, Donnie, is so cheap for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. That is all essentially the same amount of money. You might as well get good quarterback play. Because when the Watson stuff first started, the idea of benching him is like, we can't bench the guy. He just got here. He's worth every – we know the score. We know that he's not the guy. And now he's going to be coming off of an Achilles injury now. Like, yes, if correct. You're the Browns, you are not putting yourself in a better position by starting him. You're right. Can't trade. Can't cut. You do not have to start him, though, anymore, Donnie. I just think the evidence is too overwhelming.
But by the way, too, you can tell when things aren't right here. Jimmy Haslam paid a lot of money and sold his soul for Deshaun Watson. Even going down the route of, I asked my wife and my daughter if it's okay to have Deshaun Watson. They completely agreed we should have him. I said, this, like, sometimes karma just really comes back. But when you let's look at Kevin Stefanski, who's won coach of the year for a few times, knows what he's doing. He knows how to run an offense. Mm-hmm. When he's sitting up there at the podium, Kevin, telling you that Deshaun Watson gives you the best chance to win. We all know where that's coming from. That's not him talking here. That's upper right. management who paid him that money going, Kevin, you're going to have to take one for the team here. You can't stay up at that podium and be like, look, the owner's making me play this guy. I want to play Jameis, which even buys into the week before. Jameis is the third. Like, you didn't want so much controversy or any smoke at all. You made Jameis Winston the third emergency quarterback, knowing that he might be the most talented quarterback on your roster just because it wasn't a good look for Deshaun Watson at that point. Now that we know that, and you're right, it's not as if Deshaun Watson, who again continues to get legal liabilities against them every like 3 weeks, somebody's jumping out of the woodwork. Yep, he harassed me at this time and point, and he settles that lawsuit. And you say, okay, he's going to get suspended 3 weeks. He's coming back healthy. You're right. A mobile quarterback, which looks like he was going to revolutionize the game with the Texans, now might not even be mobile anymore, and his arm is completely shot. You do now have a point where if you are Kevin Stefanski, you should be allowed to go into your general manager's office or your owner's office and say, look, it's over for this. I understand we're eating a huge cap. It's embarrassing. But you know what's more embarrassing? Playing the guy and getting killed each week. Sometimes you got to cut the cord.
And I'll tell you this: if I'm Haslam Donahue, I'll tell you what, Stefanski.
Yeah.
Get Dorsey in here, okay? We'll do it your way. Someone explain to me how this is possible. I need you guys to sit down and explain to me, football wise, how Deshaun Watson averages $180 a game and these guys average $320 a game. That's all I want to know. And then I'll leave you alone. If you can explain to me how our passing yards double when it's literally any other breathing human being, and I'll leave you alone. Because I don't understand how it is possible, though, Donnie. Like, I'm not defending Watson. I'm not telling you they're holding back the good plays. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's crazy. And I'd like to understand what it is that allows them to open it up like this.
Here's what I want to understand. Jameis Winston, multiple touchdown passes. One to a tight end, two to wideouts. And Jerry Jeudy at +3. How does that happen? Jerry, help me out. Still a solid day for your boy DRS. A lot more hot topics to go. Don't change the dial. It's Moneyline right here on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Return of the Mac. You know who that is, Kevin? Aaron Rodgers, the savior of the Jets. Plays three plays last year. He might as well play three games this year because they probably won more games. No idea. Something, Kevin, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I saw the tweet come up multiple times. Don't have it up right now. What the Jets did yesterday hasn't happened in like 750 games. Like 250 yards of offense that you hold your opponent to less. You score 20 points, something else in there. Like, it's impossible the Jets lost, but the Jets lost yesterday because they are the Jets. In big moments to stop a horrendous offense, they couldn't do it. Greg Zuerlein is personally responsible for three losses on their schedule and is still employed today. And Aaron Rodgers and that offense can't get out of their way, but here's what I love too, Kevin. You trade for Devontae Adams as if that was the reason you guys were losing football games. Insignificant against Pittsburgh, insignificant against New England. Who was your best wideout yesterday? It's Garrett Wilson. Newsflash. He's always been your best option here. Traded for a wideout. And here's my question to you, because we're going to have fun with the Jets now. The trading block is next week. Woody Johnson can't be happy, but Woody's behind this. Hey, man, pay a lot of money. Most talented roster I have. Hassan Reddick played yesterday. Got paid basically $1 million to play. Didn't even show up on the stat sheet. What do you do with the Jets? Because I'm telling you right now, teams will take Hassan Reddick. Teams will take Devontae Adams. What are you doing at that spot?
I'd get rid of everything. You can strip the whole thing down to the studs. To be honest with you, Donnie, what has happened here is such a disgrace. They could bench Aaron Rodgers for all I'm concerned, and I think that would be a respectable move. I am not a Jets fan, okay? Yeah. But I have New York pride, okay? Mm. And there are times when I see things going on and I cannot stand the way New Yorkers are reacting. The Daniel Jones thing, case in point, right? Where, you know, you always had a more villainous smile to you when we would have that conversation, right? And I was like, you guys have to stop this. Like, you should be better than this. When Rodgers came in and had Robert Saleh fired. I mean, are we done with the they wanted to get a look at Jeff Ulbrich. Yeah, all right, you got one. Why don't you let Hackett coach the rest of the way, you clown? All right? Now, this is one of these situations, Donnie, where like you almost have to make a statement. Like, you know what, Aaron? We did it your way, and we're worse than we've ever been. Mm-hmm. Let Tyrod go, because this is a disgrace. And I just think that it's one of the more unique disgraces we've ever seen, Donnie, because there is no reason for this to be this way. There just isn't. There's far too much talent on the roster. And the losses are, as you've said, they're all terrible. They're all terrible, terrible losses, right? Yeah. So it's an instance where it's a dead season. Trade whoever you want. My only question is, will Aaron Rodgers retire at the end of this season? No. That, to me, is the big thing.
I don't think he does. Now, also, keep in mind, the one thing that the NFL does right, and it doesn't necessarily count against, let's just say, the owner, but they do keep it fair. Like, in a league where the NFL, the higher-ups, or should I say not the higher-ups, the teams that like to spend money, would love if there was no such thing as a dead cap. Like, yeah, I'll sign you, and if you play, I'll pay you, but if I cut you, trade you, or you retire, I don't have to pay you anymore. Well, theoretically, in some instances, you don't. But if Aaron Rodgers, last year, Kevin, counted $74 million in dead cap if they cut him, got injured, you knew that wasn't going to happen. If they move on from this year, Kevin, $66 million immediately hits their dead salary cap. Next year, which everybody's looking forward to, hey, 2025, $49 million accelerated dead cap hit. They're stuck. He's going to be their quarterback this year, Kevin, and he's going to be their quarterback next year. Now, he does have voided years in 2026, 27, 28, and 29, which can be taken away. But even that dead cap hit, if they said, okay, well, okay, another $35 million. So when I say I like this, because it would have been easy, like, hey, Woody Johnson, we'll just cut him. We don't have to pay him, or no dead cap hit. It's actually good that they strangle you with this. There's nowhere to go. And the best part about it is the Jets, like the Dallas Cowboys were trying to say, let's go all in. The Jets went all in. There are Pro Bowlers at every single position, and it just doesn't work. And again, it's not just, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well. Well, this game, he cost him. The kicker didn't play well this game. They cost him. The defense couldn't get a stop against Jacoby Brissett twice in the fourth quarter on long drives. It's hilarious in itself here. By the way, what is Zuerlein? Just missing like 35, 40-yard kicks left and right. Blowing football games. Couldn't happen to a better franchise in the Jets. A lot more hot topics on the way. World Series, is Ohtani playing tonight? Which way to go? The Sports Equinox. And a lot of boosts out there, people. It's Donnie Kevin on a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In a wild weekend across all landscapes, a lot of fun, a lot of bets, a lot of good time. College football, the Miami Hurricanes, Kevin, moved up to fifth in the country, absolutely rightfully so, above Texas. Because why? Texas refuses to start Arch Manning, and they're now taking a hit in the polls, Kevin. Election day is coming up. You can't be taking a hit in the polls this late in the game. Why are we not going to Arch? Help me out. Why are we not going to Arch Manning in Texas? It's all fine and good where you're at right now, and yes, yours is winning some games. He's not going to take you to the promised land. Arch can do that here. Why are we not making the move yet? Can somebody help me?
Yeah. Listen, I agree. I think that Arch gives them the best chance to be the best version of themselves. You know, it's interesting. But for the way the Texas schedule broke out, man, like sometimes you just get lucky, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we're in the big bad SEC. Who do we play this year? Well, Oklahoma's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, Donnie, I think there were nine teams from the SEC that were ranked. Yeah. And this team got Oklahoma, A&M, and Georgia. They got three of them. And Oklahoma's obviously proven to be terrible. They already got cracked by Georgia, and all that remains is A&M. But they didn't. Mm-hmm. Missouri, LSU, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, they avoided all of those teams, which is why it would be pretty – it's hard to imagine, Donnie, they don't make the playoff, right? Because even if they finish with a loss at A&M, 10-2, I think they still get in.
Yeah, I love the way this college football season is breaking, because you're looking at so many teams with still so many chances, and games that we might have thought would have been elimination games, no longer actually elimination games, and you're fighting like to actually play another week. So I'm enjoying it. Penn State's going to go up against Ohio State. If you look at if Penn State's anything less than 7, which they are, you can't take them because they never win big football games. Oregon looks absolutely complete the part right now. Dylan Gabriel's been spectacular. Ohio State survives a game against Nebraska. They're going to take on, as I said, Penn State this week. Florida State, now sits at 1-7, can't make it that up anymore. But also, give me a look at Texas A&M with a quarterback change from Connor Wegman to this kid that can now come in and looks absolutely electric. But my question is, I don't know much about the young kid. I think it's Marcel Reed, true freshman. Is that correct?
Yeah.
He's a true freshman. Mm-hmm. Two passes. Mm-hmm. 70 total yards combined. QBR was high, but we know he runs the football. Can that guy win long-term in the SEC, or is that just lightning in a bottle for one game?
I mean, so that get performance specifically was out of control, where it felt like if you picked your head up, and he was just running all over the field.
Yes.
He, though, Donnie, checked in for them. Now, it was like lower-level comp, but the consensus was like, oh, he's clearly the better quarterback option. And they went into the game against Missouri because Wegman got injured early in the year. And they went into the game and everyone's like, yeah, I don't know. They might play Wegman. And they were like, well, why would they even bother? Like, Reed's a better kid. And they put Wegman back in. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And then he lit up Missouri, but they're bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they stick with Wegman. So the fact that they then made the move in game, Donnie, I imagine they have to stick with Reed. It's tough to tell if he's legit because the competition is a little skewed, right? If you look at who he played, where he threw multiple passes against Florida, Bowling Green, Arkansas. I mean, you know, it's not nothing. But I think for Marcel Reed, Donnie, the like this South Carolina game, right? If that's where if he's going to be the starter going into it, that'll be his toughest test. Like a full week of prep on the road in the SEC. We've seen the Gamecocks be really tricky this season. And that'll answer a lot of questions. Because, look, that's one of those prime upset spots. You see the number 2.5. It's one of those spots where clearly South Carolina is supposed to give them every single bit of a run for their money.
How about this weekend, too? Yeah, again, Ohio State, Penn State's the big game. And I'm just going to say this right now. Fox, God bless you. We don't want to wait till 8 o'clock to watch football. Heck, I don't even want to wait till 3:30. Ohio State, Penn State, 12 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Love to see that. But that's not the game I want to talk about.
Do you have a problem quickly, though, with the big noon kickoff not kicking off until about 12:20?
Yes, I do have a problem with that. You know what stems from me, too? I remember back when I was a real hockey fan. This probably goes back 15 years. NBC on Sunday would have a noon hockey game, Kevin. I swear the puck dropped at like 12:42. And I said, why can't we just be real with the people? Run your pregame show 11-12. Like the NFL, right? We're never left to believe like the game is 1 o'clock. You can set your clock by that kickoff. Like they don't mess around. And I just always wonder why other sports do that. Like they're trying to cheat you to tune in at 12 o'clock to watch their pregame show when they just want to watch the football game anyway at this point. And then when they find that your pregame show is on, they probably just switch in between the commercial breaks anyway. I never understood that. Like if you told us right now, 11 o'clock pregame show, 12 o'clock kickoff. Well, if they want to watch the pregame show to get excited for it, most people watch football pregame shows anyway at that point. I just don't understand, like, scamming the public because you can sell Ford a better car. Look, they're going to tune into this game. We're going to jam them for 25 minutes. You're going to get a Ford truck in there that somebody might want to buy. I can't stand that. So that is one of my pet peeves at that point. When you say the kickoff's going to be at 12, just make it 12 o'clock at this point. Florida, Georgia this weekend. How about Oregon, Michigan? Michigan catching 2 touchdowns in the total. Total with Oregon. 44.5. That seems wild.
It does. Oregon should be able
to
hang it on.
Is the Orgy man back? Is the Orgy man back in this?
Well, it looks like maybe they'll play like a mixed bag of him and Warren. I don't know. Sharon Moore's been clearly figuring this thing out all season, doesn't know what he's doing with the quarterback.
Is he calling Harbaugh? Bad. Like, who should I play? Like, what's he doing right now? Needs help?
Well, Donnie, let me ask you, DRS, because I'm sure you're a bit invested in Cam Ward. Like, I'm sure you want Cam Ward to win as a Miami guy.
Sure. Yep.
When you pull up Miami schedule and Oregon schedule,
yeah,
do you feel one has a better chance to go unbeaten in the regular season more so than the other? Because it does feel like Oregon.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know Oregon, who they play out, but I look at Miami's schedule and I don't think anybody's beating them until the conference championship game is a possibility. Like, I don't even know who Oregon's got left. But Miami's looks so easy to me. And I guess you got Michigan this weekend, which it's still a road game and crazy things happen. Maryland, okay team, no, but it's at home. Wisconsin on the road, cold weather from Oregon, maybe it gets interesting. And then, you know, the Washington game at the end of the season. They should go unbeaten, but I do think they might have a test or two in there theoretically.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where you look at it though and you're like, all right, so they're going to lay two touchdowns everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just based on where the numbers are. Miami, Donnie, is going to play this game against Duke at home. They're laying 20. At home against Wake, okay, they'll lay a billion. What do we think the lines will look like for Georgia Tech and Syracuse? You know, are those lines going to be 12, 17,
yeah,
8?
Yeah.
You know, because it does feel like that race is just going to come down to who's unbeaten. But it may, though, flip. Because let's say Donnie Dylan Gabriel is unbeaten, goes to the Big Ten championship game, plays Ohio mm-hmm. State. And then Cam Ward with one loss is in the ACC title game playing Clemson. Well, Cam Ward wins his championship game. Gabriel loses his. Boom, just like that, Cam Ward takes his game back.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, I think that the Heisman race is going to be so much fun to watch it as it plays out down the stretch. And I was telling Ben this morning, like, because coming into, like, I do want Cam Ward to win it, you know, from a rooting interest. And I think there's a lot of deserving guys. But Genty from Boise, which would be so funny because it started with my rant on, I'm mad at the coach because he's not letting Genty spin, which turned out to be Boise State fans getting upset as if I wasn't, like, I didn't like Genty, which is never the concept. It was sort of a sarcastic thing, like, fire the coach because you need to let this kid spin in Boise. When are they ever going to have the chance to win the Heisman? Now, he does have some cupcakes down the schedule, and I hope the coach listens and is like, you know what? We'll let you run 35 times, even if it means we're up 42 points in the second half because we have to really run up the flagpole. But I would love nothing more than Genty to have really good games down the stretch but not win the Heisman, and I can just hit that retweet button like I told you. You let him spin in that game. He rushes for 440 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's the Heisman. Like, I need that moment here. But I have no ill will toward the kid. He looks tremendous. Probably going to be an awesome pro when he gets there. But I would love the fact if he didn't win it because that one game he had a chance to spin and wasn't able to spin. Mm-hmm. We've got some more question marks here, Kevin, in the NFL. You watch that game last night, Dallas and San Francisco. Oh, it was close. It was close. Did you see Dak? Yeah, did you see Dak when he had 4 plays with a quick 4 out and lost the football game when the game was actually within a winnable distance? That's Dak Prescott. That's the Cowboys. We'll talk about them next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Watch those Dallas Cowboys yesterday, people. Did you enjoy that? Now, for my game, I went 1-1, so I actually finished plus $10, Kevin. I had a boost at 365, which was 200 yards passing from each player. Looked a little dicey for me. I actually fell asleep in the third quarter, woke up after the Cowboys scored their first touchdown of the second half. And I'm like, Dak's going to finish with like $175. Stop it. He gets one hit. He hits one off to CeeDee Lamb. By the way, did you cash yours, that boost? It was Debo, was it?
Yes, I did. I got, which was, man, it was so funny how it works out because Debo gets to 71, and I'm like, all right, it's on CeeDee, and the Cowboys punted down 17. I went, whoa, starter's coming out, and next thing you know, he's got $146. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, dropped back-to-back just shots downfield, easily picked it up, cashed my ticket. I got left by the toll booth waiting by the side on Ferguson in that game, but that's neither here nor there. Here's what I get a kick out of, right? Because I bet the week before, or 2 weeks before, Dak Prescott to throw over 1.5 touchdown passes. I said to myself, I don't think they're going to win this game, which is perfect. And every touchdown they got behind Kevin in the first half, I kept saying, I've watched this game before. Dak's going to light it up in the second half when nobody cares and nobody's paying attention. And the fact they couldn't do that was really angering to me. I was watching yesterday. I was like, I'm not even so sure if this Dallas offense can move the football. So he goes right down the field on 2 drives. And then it's like, oh my goodness, Dallas is flipping the script, and I don't know how Brock Purdy held on to that sack by Overshown, got in the backfield, blindside hit, holds on to it. Wow, Kevin, Dallas is getting the football back here. And I need 2 yards out of Ferguson, so like I hope that happens here. four terrible incompleted passes. Now, I'm going to say it, most people, you saw it last night. Turpin running down the sideline, one-on-one coverage, had to make a tough catch. Most people say, that's a great ball by Dak. Yeah, it's a great ball by Dak. But if I'm Dak Prescott, I look down and like, oh, that's Turpin? Yeah, I got to go elsewhere. I need a completion. I don't need all the yards at once. He doesn't make the play and didn't surprise anybody that Turpin didn't come down with that. But the moral of the story was, the fact when the game finally got back into where it mattered, Dak Prescott couldn't perform.
You're not wrong. I mean, once the comeback portion started being real instead of fake, the Cowboys didn't pick up a yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy how good they are at the fake comeback. They've had two of them this season. They've done it for years. And the thing with the fake comeback is we're just going to throw the ball every play.
Yeah.
You look at Dallas this season, Donnie. They've now played 7 games, right? And the talking points are, it's one of the worst run games in football. You've got Dak making all the money in the world along with CeeDee Lamb. Why don't you just throw it every play then? I mean, seriously.
Yes. Yes.
Like, they don't need to be above being a college team. Stop running the ball with Zeke and Dalvin Cook for 3 yards. Just throw it. It's not that hard. Again, McCarthy is going to be fired unless Jerry is so annoyed that people are telling him to fire him that he doesn't. And this team will hit the reset button next season. But I got to tell you, man, I'm not scared of them hiring Bill Belichick. I'm scared of them hiring a real coach. Like, I am not scared of them hiring Bill Belichick one bit.
Like Bobby Slowick down there or Ben Johnson, like really get that offense.
No, that would be terrible.
Yeah. But by the way, like, the jokes that you can make on the Dallas Cowboys, like to start that game, Kevin, 3rd and 5, Lukey up the middle from no yards. And they're like, Chris Collins, like, man, great play by Fred. Weren't Fred, anybody could have tackled that guy. Who was it? Who was that the surprise of where they just collapsed on him? So it is fun to watch the Dallas Cowboys because Washington is a really good football team. The Eagles look like they're a really good football team. The Giants stink. And then the Dallas Cowboys are obsolete in the regular season, which is insane to think about. But Jerry Jones did this to himself. Coming into the season for me, Kevin, it was CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, nobody else. And we're still sitting at that same crossroads where it's Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and nobody else. So who knows where they're going to go. By the way, it's hard to write teams off in the NFL because there's so many bad football teams, you don't realize how many teams actually make the playoffs and will they be able to hang around. I'm not so sure. Like, I had their schedule. Let me just pull it up back up again for the Cowboys. They sit 3-4. They got the Falcons on the road, which is no easy game. Falcons ended up beating Tampa Bay yesterday. Then they take on the Eagles, Texans, and Commanders. My goodness.
I'm sorry.
What do you got?
I'm sorry. So this is like a little behind the curtain, but
yeah,
Donnie and I are, of course, in a group chat with our good buddy Joe Lisi.
Yes.
And this guy, we got to get him off Twitter. He's getting a... What is it, Donnie? Oh, Ball Sack Sports nonstop.
Exactly. He's getting Rick rolled left and right out here. Like, he has no idea what's going on. He's
again, not a social media guy. Listen, sometimes you get a text like, let me just see what this is. It's Lisi sending us a text from Adam Scheffler. That's Stephon Diggs tore his ACL yesterday. Yes. And it's just
and also, who sent the one on Ohtani? Was that him also? Who sent the Ohtani one? Aaron Judge. Who sent the Aaron Judge?
The one that Aaron Judge was getting. Yes, no, of course it wasn't me. PEDs. Like,
in the middle of the World Series, like, watch out. He's going to get drug tested tomorrow. It's going to be a big news. I'm telling you, man. Imagine. You know what the best part about it? Is he firing like bets in right now? Like, hey, by the way, Adam Scheffler said Stephon Diggs is out with a torn ACL. Yep, like him even more for the Super Bowl. Just put another bet in.
Could be positive for Tank Dell this week. Everyone's going to think Tank Dell on going Robert Woods. I don't know. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
big news.
And that's not even a good one. Like, you could see the Scheffler right away.
Yeah. And he doesn't know how to screenshot either.
No.
Why not? Like, you know how you cut it down, like your ticket? Like, it's the whole screen, which again is part of the charm of Lisi, where you'll be firing and having some fun. It's like, hey, look at this. And it's like Adam Scheffler. But then below, it's like a Bitcoin thing. I'm like, what's the big deal with Bitcoin when he was actually sending to us?
Yeah. Donnie, he used to be like, here's my card for the day. And he'd take a photo off his phone. Oh, he would take a photo of his computer screen and pop it out. It's like, Joe.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
Adam Scheffler's getting this guy. Maybe he's got to do a radio show coming up next. Maybe he leads with that. Like, Ben, Stephon Diggs out for the year, just got confirmation, and then they do some research and figure there's no confirmation whatsoever at this point. But how are we feeling about tonight's game, though? Big Russ, under center, 5.5. Yeah. I'm going to be cooking parlays left and right, Kevin. But you know who might be included in my parlays, which I lost my sack yesterday. I said yesterday, if you're going to bet the Cincinnati Bengals, don't bet the Bengals, Kevin. What did I say? Just take Trey Hendrickson to get a sack. If he doesn't, that means they probably got beat, and they did. So I lost money there. I'm looking at two guys tonight. You tell me how they don't come up with sacks tonight and the game plan that we're going to use tonight for Monday Night Football. I mean, this is Russ's coming out party tonight. 2-0 is the starter. Never in doubt. He was the best for the Steelers. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
Monday Night Football, y'all. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's first of all, I don't even understand. How's the line only five? Actually, it's moving everywhere else. 5.5 at FanDuel, 6 across the board. Part of my boost tonight, Kevin, will all include the Pittsburgh Steelers money line. I'm just going to say that outright. I just got to find which way to go. And as I was teasing before the break, I know on Bet365, let me see tonight really quick because I have the numbers up on the sack props tonight because I checked them out of FanDuel. They only have one side so far. And that is the Pittsburgh Steelers, which they have both sides up at 365. So TJ Watt to get a sack. Now, also, as I told Kevin yesterday, that 365, a half sack counts as a sack. It's minus 220. Mm-hmm. If we go over to FanDuel to get a sack tonight, and I think it was, I want to say 230. Let me just scroll down here. Defensive players to record a sack. Minus 230. And I think on FanDuel, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, a full sack. Is that right?
I've never really bet much of the sack props, that sounds right.
I want to say, now, they don't have any other props up besides TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Cameron Hayward tonight for the Steelers. Minus 114 for Highsmith, minus 102 for Cam Hayward. For the team going against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Giants, Brian Burns, Derek Lawrence, and Raheem Nunez-Roches. He's plus 350, take him out. Dexter Lawrence is only a plus 115. I think I got to take Dexy tonight because the one thing I know about the Steelers is Russ isn't as fast as he used to be. Russ can get out of the way. Don't get me wrong. But the middle of that line from guard, center, guard, it's not that great and it's injured. So backups are playing a lot of those positions. I would be surprised if Dexter Lawrence, like, let's just say if you hit that parlay on both of these, which again, it's going to make me log in. That's the way I would look at it tonight. If I'm playing something side, I think they both get sacks.
Over the sack total for the game, possibly could be something to try and find. I wanted to ask you this though, Donnie, because maybe it's a silly question, but because sometimes we talk about viewership and whatnot.
Yes.
Is there a chance this baseball game hangs or even beats the NFL game tonight, viewership wise? Because it's a terrible football game and it's Yankees Dodgers game number 3.
No, it beats it. I think the football game beats it. The football game always wins. On a national standalone game. Now, you might get arguments, Kevin, if this was on Amazon Prime, right? Later in the week. Maybe they don't. But just even though you're right about it, it's still a football game. There's way more of just football fans than baseball fans, even though it's a huge series. It's New York. It's L.A. It's West Coast. It's East Coast. They're doing great numbers together. But when you line it up against a Monday Night Football game, I still think it's the football game in a landslide.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably. Like, I know that I've been a little bit lower on, like, football excitement, NFL excitement, I should say. But, like, to me, Don, like, you know, today is the sports equinox, right?
Yes, so correct.
We have all of them, right? Of course, we're going to be covering the NFL game live, and we'll be betting the NFL game live. But, like, who cares about this game? Come on. Like, the World Series is on.
You're just a Yankees fan, though. So that's just a Yankees perspective.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, Don, like, we got two TVs in there. Like, I'm going to be trying to flip it between World Series and let's get the basketball on. We can watch the NFL. Donnie, you can cheat, watch the NFL off the computer. Let's not even put it on the TVs.
But here's the thing, too, because I love baseball, and I will be betting the game tonight. But it's hard to, like, sit down and watch a baseball bet. Now, granted, if you have the total, it's one thing. But most of the time, hitter props, my guy's not coming up for seven at-bats, you know, this and that and the other. It's just so much easier, and that's where the betting public just comes in and goes, I can just get down on 50,000 things at once on this Giants-Pittsburgh game. And it's not even a great game, Kevin. It's a 36.5. It's not like, you know what, 54.5 and away we go. But I was bringing up some of those numbers, Kevin, because we always like to say when the number is low, total-wise, some of those prop bets are extreme. Like 1-1s tonight, Kevin, one rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown, each side, 6-1 tonight. It's just like plus 190, plus 200, 6-1. So if you guess right tonight, you can make a lot of money. I'm just trying to play for an angle for me. It does seem like an under tonight. Like the final score, I was joking around, 24-12 sounds right for me. A couple touchdowns and a field goal for the Steelers. A couple field goals, keep it close for the Giants, but not enough to cover, not enough to get over the total. But I'm trying to, like, is there an option tonight where the Giants can show up? What I mean by showing up, score 17 points. Because that'll force the Steelers to be engaged. Because the one thing I know about Mike Tomlin, as I've learned, and look, they win football games, it's no surprise. I don't think Mike's like, you know what, Arthur Smith, you better throw that ball 30 times by the time we get to the third quarter tonight. I just don't see it. I think it might stay under tonight. What about you?
Yeah, I probably lean that way. I don't know. Maybe I'll bet the Giants.
Let's go.
Let's bet Lakers.
Boost, Kevin.
Lakers, boost, Suns.
Boost all over the place. For Chris Brown, the Wheels of Steel, Donnie right beside Kevin Walsh on a Monday. Thanks for tuning in to the Moneyline. Tomorrow's a Tuesday. We'll be back at it. Make sure you join us. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.